Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/ghost.
There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can always email me your audio file. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Social media, we are there too, at Real Ghost Stories Online. Facebook, Twitter, Ghost Story Radio. I was going to say
Ghost.
Goiter Story Radio.
Goiter. That's fun.
It's a whole other podcast. Instagram at ghostpodcast.com and Snapchat at ghostpodcast. So there you go. Lots of ways to get your stories to us at Real Ghost Stories Online. I have so many questions about the world of goiters, but...
I don't know anything about goiters.
I'm sure you probably don't have the answers.
Sorry.
Whatsoever. There you go. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
How are you?
Someday you'll know the answers to those questions.
I hope not.
You don't want to? No.
Really? I hope not.
I don't know. I mean, it's a medical condition, correct? I mean, or is it just part of your body that I'm not trying to speak in insulting ways at all about this. I just don't know about it.
I don't know what it is. So because I don't know what it is, I automatically go towards I don't want that.
Okay.
So let's find out what it is.
Okay. I remember when I was a child, there was the nicest lady that my mom and some of her sisters would help get to and from church quite a bit because she couldn't drive. And probably around 90 is my guess. I mean, granted, this is like from the 10-year-old perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 35 at the time seemed pretty old. But I'm guessing she was probably up there because I think she passed shortly after. But I remember she had a very large one of those. And she kind of poked fun at it every now and then. But I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is or what causes.
Yeah, this will totally be me.
That's a creepy photo.
So
there's not even a goiter in that photo.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, okay. Wikipedia?
Okay, what it is. Abnormal enlargement of the butterfly-shaped gland below the Adam's apple, which is your thyroid.
Okay. So it's thyroid enlargement, is it?
Mm-hmm. And it's treatable.
Okay.
It's very common. I think in areas where there's not a lot of access to medical care,
mm-hmm.
you know, impoverished countries and things sure. like that. Is where you see
it's more common
those kinds.
Okay, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Okay,
but it's fixable. I have thyroid issues, but mm-hmm. that's not it. Mine doesn't work okay. enough. It's not that it's
does it tend to happen more in older folks, or is it can it strike anyone now that we're learning all about the just
okay, hold on, I'm pulling up I think it's the American Thyroid Association.
While she looks it up, I'm gonna do the on hold music, but I'm gonna do it with my mouth. The
okay, it can occur in a gland that's producing too much hormone
mm-hmm.
or too little hormone, which is what I have.
Okay.
Great. So now I'm going to worry about that shit from now on.
I'm glad I could add a little more worry to your life.
Let's read a story or hear a story. It'll be less scary to me than this. Thanks for that.
Hi.
Halloween, 1976. I was 5 years old. My mom, my sisters, and I all went trick-or-treating. This is Sheboygan, Wisconsin. So my mom and I all went trick-or-treating. I was the Hulk. And we came back home by about 8 o'clock, and by 9 o'clock, I had to go to bed. Now, I hated bedtime, and I was really afraid of my room because I knew something was happening in that closet. You know, even at 5 years old, I was freaked out by my closet, and I always made sure that closet door was shut. This has nothing to do, the story has nothing to do with the closet. It just has to do with the fact that I'm very sensitive to paranormal stuff. The closet will come in at another time. I have many, many stories about the paranormal, but this one is the first one that ever happened to me. So I had this thing that I would do because I hated bedtime so much, is I would wait until I thought the coast was clear, which, as I thought, you know, after my dad finished making popcorn was usually a perfect time to get up because you had at least 20, 25 minutes before he was going to get up for the next beer. So my bedroom was at the end of a hall, which two steps to the right of that was the bathroom, and then two steps more, you could stand at the end of the hall and see the TV in the living room, and nobody in the living room could see you. So I could stand there and watch TV when I was supposed to be sleeping, and if I heard a chair squeak, I could just turn around and ninja it right back into the bathroom, and there's nothing strange about somebody getting up at night to use the bathroom. So I never got caught peeking at the TV. But this time, somebody's chair squeaked, so I ditched it in the bathroom, and I actually had to go, so I started to pee, and I heard something at the window. So when I was done, I got into the bathtub, and I opened up the ugly 70s plastic, you know, bathroom window curtains. I remember them distinctly, and the bathroom window was frosted glass like you get in a bathroom, so you can't see anything but, you know, through it. You'll never see anything through it. And when I opened up the window shades, there was two old men's faces, and they weren't just looking at me. They were looking at me sideways like they were Spider-Man hanging off the side of my house with their, you know, and they looked at each other, and then they looked at me, and then they looked at each other again, and then they looked back at me, and they made this horrible, and I flipped out. I screamed and I tripped getting out of the bathtub, and my dad got up and immediately ran down the hallway because he thought that I was in my room. So he ran past the bathroom and is looking for me, and I'm on the floor in the bathroom. And he said, "What's going on?" And I said, "There were people outside the window." And he ran out there, and there was nobody there, and there were no footprints in the garden bed that surrounded. It was all fresh dirt in the garden bed. Because it was October, so they had dug up the plants and hoed it and everything like that, and no footprints in the garden bed or anything like that, and there was no way that I was sleeping because prior to that, I was watching TV, and I ran into the bathroom to escape being caught watching TV, so I couldn't admit to that. I just admitted that I was in bed and I had to go pee. Anyway, long story short, ghosts outside the window, Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Take that as you will, but it scared me so much. It is cemented in my memory like it just happened yesterday. And when I walk past that window, still, when I go to the bathroom in that house, my parents still live there. When I go to the bathroom in that house, I still think about those faces like it was yesterday. It's insane. But anyway, I will call with more if you want me to. I've got many, many stories handed down and personal. So I'd love to be on the show sometime, perhaps. Anyway, have a great day, and I'll keep on a listening, eh?
I think that's every child's worst nightmare, going to the bathroom in the dark at night, even in their own home.
Faces?
Yeah, running into something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's going to yell at you like that.
That's pretty creepy, because at first I was thinking it was going to be like, oh, they're confused too. You know, like,
right.
Like the ghosts are like, well, what's going on? Why is there a kid here? No, it sounds like it had some other intent there, mm-hmm. of trying to purposely scare him. It's interesting where, I mean, I know he says he has some other stories, so I would love to hear that. I'm wondering if this was more of it was an isolated incident with this specific type of thing, or if there's more to it. But would love to hear more.
Sure.
So, and yeah, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, home of the old Wisconsin Outlet Factory store.
Okay.
Which has a great variety of all the little meat sticks and everything. And I've gone there many a times. And
I know.
You buy them, and they're just delicious.
Okay.
They are delicious. It's not an advertisement. They're just delicious.
You just love Sheboygan.
I like the beach. Well, and the beach is technically in Kohler,
yeah.
Which is right by there. It's a place I frequented. I grew up about 30 minutes away from Sheboygan, so I was there quite often. And actually, the only time I ever worked a job outside of radio, was in Sheboygan. Wisconsin. I was in between radio jobs, and I was actually kind of thinking, I don't know, I might not go back to radio because it's kind of like I was getting sick of it. And I took a job just to kind of make some money. It was like guaranteed pay for like the first 3 months, I think, is what they said it was. I didn't even last that long because I hated that too. And it was actually working for Sprint. And I had to go and make sure essentially that the Radio Shacks of the area and they're essentially independent dealers. I'd like manage all of those. Mm-hmm. So back in the day when, I mean, Radio Shacks, I think still carry it, but it was like anybody could sell a Sprint phone. I mean, there was like pizza places that had a Sprint display.
Sure.
And it's like, yeah, try and get, you know, this shop or that shop to sell Sprint. It's like, I don't think that they really know what this even is. It's early in the world of cell phones. iPhones do not exist yet. That was just a nightmare. I hated every moment of that. But I did collect the guaranteed pay for a little while and moved back into radio again. So, yeah, there you go. But it was my office was in Sheboygan.
There you go.
Right by the water tower. There you go. 855-853-4802. Is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You were asking me earlier about Blue Apron, and I got it. I got our next meal lined up.
Okay.
It's coming up in May. Here's what I picked out for us. Beef teriyaki stir fry.
Okay.
I think that sounds good. Sugar snap peas and lime rice.
Yeah.
With that, so I'm excited about this. And here's one I think you'll thoroughly enjoy, the crispy catfish and sweet potato fries.
Yes.
That sounds, because they give you some options to choose from, essentially, and then you pick the ones you like best. And I thought, well, this pretty much sounds like right up your alley.
Yeah.
With spinach, and it has tartar sauce. I know you're not big on tartar sauce, but their tartar sauce is good. I've had it before.
Okay.
And so it's some good stuff coming up. Mm-hmm. So anyway, if you want to get in on Blue Apron, you can get your first three meals absolutely free with free shipping. And go to blueapron.com/ghost. They are a supporter of Real Ghost Stories Online, so please support them. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country, and there's a reason for it. Their stuff is great. Believe me, we have actually, even before we had any sort of sponsor on the show, tried several of them just on our own, and Blue Apron was by far our favorite and still is. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. They achieve it by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and it's always good stuff. And then you got a community of home chefs that have just access to these great recipes. They are so easy to make. Literally, I mean, it's a great way, too. If you think you are not a cook or you can't cook food, these recipes are so easy to follow. A 12-year-old kid could easily follow them in the kitchen. And hey, there's a great way you can get your children to make dinner for you if you're not worried about them burning the house down. It really is that easy. It's great food, great recipes. You will not be disappointed with Blue Apron. So check it out. Very affordable, less than $10 a person per meal. And these are restaurant, beyond restaurant quality, I would say. West Want.
West Swan.
I'm getting my R's mixed up here today. But it really is. I mean, how many times do you go out to eat and you're like, oh, I'm kind of disappointed and I've just spent how much? It's such good stuff. Affordable, variety, and flexible to your schedule. You can take a week off, pick which weeks you want. It's great. Check it out. Get your first three meals free. Free shipping, blueapron.com/ghost. You will love how good it feels and tastes and create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. blueapron.com/ghost. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
My name is Maggie. I grew up in a small town. By small town, I mean a population of about 200 people. During the summer, my best friend would often come and spend a night with me. During the daytimes, we would just walk around the town, usually down a dirt road that wasn't but about a block or so away. This day in particular, my mother, who was a retired beautician, was giving her mother a perm. My best friend and I had already walked down our dirt road whenever we decided to review, or rather, go down a different dirt road. This one was a partially paved dirt road that was across the street from where I lived. Now, this was the first time that we had ever went down that particular dirt road. Whenever we started walking, we noticed that on the left side, there was a house that had a wood fence. In one of the posts in the wood fence was a knife. I remember that we talked about it and noticed that it just looked odd. It was a particularly breezy day, and we wanted to see what was down this tree-lined road. The moment we passed the knife, the wind just stopped. You could see that the leaves in the trees just immediately stopped. Now, we were 12 or 13 at the time and thought this was rather funny. So just to test the theory, we backed up. And when if we passed the knife, the wind once again started blowing. Once again, as two little girls, we did think it was funny. So we went to test the theory again and walked past. And once again, the wind did stop blowing. However, this time we decided to go a little bit further. So we continued walking, and we're probably about 10 or so feet past whenever I heard my mother call my name and then her name. We both heard it at the same time and yelled out and ran to see if what my mother wanted. My mother, who was still giving her mother a perm, said that she didn't call us, and her mother stated she didn't call us. Later on, either it was a couple of years later or the same day, I can't remember, we were comparing our notes, so to speak, and she stated that at the same time that I reported hearing my mother call my name and her mother call and my mother call her name, she heard her mother call her name and my mother and her mother call my name in that order. Now, the thing is, we only heard one voice. I heard my mother, and she heard her mother. So I don't know what it was. I'd like to think it was God trying to keep us out of harm's way. Maybe it was our guardian angels. But whatever it was, I know that it wasn't a prank that my mother played, because she did at times like to play pranks. But I would like to believe that it was God or the guardian angel, maybe even a relative there passed away. However, that is one of the many stories that I do have about the paranormal. I do enjoy your podcast. I've only been recently listening to it. So keep up the good work. I do hope you have a wonderful day. Once again, my name is Maggie, and thank you for listening.
I think anytime you enter into a space, even if it's just walking past something and then senses suddenly change, like the wind stops or you suddenly don't hear things anymore or, you know, your sight changes, I think there's something going on. And I don't really lean towards it could be good or bad. I think it's just usually bad.
Really?
I do. I mean, when have you ever heard of a story where somebody said and all of a sudden there was no sound? And it ended good.
Casper the Friendly Ghost?
No.
Wait, I never seen that. Never watched that.
It's not worth our time.
It's not happened in that movie? No. Or shadow people in that movie?
No.
Just Casper? I don't know. I understand how she wants it to be something good.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting the fact that both of them heard a ghost, but it was in their own unique voice. It wasn't the same.
Right. And that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how when they walked past that knife, how everything seemed to change. Mm-hmm. I think something was calling them back from danger.
Okay. So, as in the ghost was good, like almost like good ghost versus bad ghost interacting with the living who could be going towards something not so good. Or just bad
situation.
Situation. Yeah. Doesn't even have to be ghostly that they could be going into, I see.
Yeah. I think, you know, obviously you're going to perk up if you hear your mom's voice. So mm-hmm. It hurt both of the girls heard their mom's voice.
Sure. That's interesting where it's the simultaneous thing mm-hmm. and totally different people. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Favorite kids ghost movie?
Ghost movie?
It has to be spooky. It has to be at least Halloween themed.
Hocus Pocus, hands down.
Okay, that's, yeah, I knew
that's
that.
That's my
favorite
Halloween movie.
I knew that one.
And I know it's cheesy as all get out, but I used to love that one.
It's a classic, though. I mean, it really, it was, you know, it's very rare that there's a ghostly kids movie that comes out that, like, stands out, where it's like, oh, it's going to be I think what's the last one that came out that was like, oh, this is going to, Haunted Mansion, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, Haunted Mansion, probably.
Yeah. But does it stand up to some of the other? Does it stand up to Boogity? That's the real question. Nobody even knows what Boogity is.
Five people know what that is.
It's funny. Every time I mention it, I get people sending me the links to watch it on YouTube. They're like, oh my God, here it is. Because some of us, I think it was like such a big part of our childhood, if you like spooky stuff, because there was so little of it
uh-huh.
Like available like on mainstream television other than like Unsolved Mysteries that... It was the VHS days.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had it on VHS and you like that stuff, you just watch that shit over and over. And it was just, which is exactly what I did.
You know, when I was a kid, we'd watch a lot of more psychologically scary mm-hmm. stuff other than like visually scary stuff. So
sure.
We watched The Birds, even though that's kind of visually mm-hmm. scary. But there's parts in To Kill a Mockingbird that are kind of Halloween-y and kind of spooky. Mm-hmm. And those were the kinds of things I watch more often than not. So when Hocus Pocus came out, I was all about that.
What was the Don Knotts movie?
The Ghost of Mr. Chicken.
That was a fun one.
That was a fun one.
I remember watching that one. I recall renting Night of the Living Dead. Or my mom renting Night of the Living Dead when she thought I was old enough to handle it. And I was probably about 10. And we rented it from the grocery store, because back then, grocery mm-hmm. stores sure. rented out movies. And I laughed my whole way through that movie. And she was shocked. She's like, oh my gosh, I thought it was going to really scare you. And it was just, I don't know. And it is a spooky movie. I mean, but it wasn't that I was exposed to that. It's kind of odd, because I look back and I'm like, why did I laugh through most of that? Because I was not exposed to other zombie movies. I wasn't allowed to watch them. So some of those, like Evil Dead and the other uh-huh. ones that were out in that era, I'd never seen. To this day, I haven't seen them. But for some reason, Night of the Living Dead just made me chuckle.
That's funny.
I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
We purchased our first house when I was pregnant with my son. My daughter was 2 years old. It was a lovely house. We found out later it had been transplanted from downtown in the 1950s, so I don't know exactly how old the house was. Everything went well when we moved in. I was 5 months pregnant. Shortly after my son was born, I started to hear running upstairs. It sounded like a child. I assumed it was my daughter, so I would go upstairs to put her back to bed, but she'd be sleeping. And if you know two-year-olds, you know they can't fake it. I put it off to imagination, or maybe I had misheard something. When I would go in and feed my son at night in the rocking chair in his room, sometimes he would unlatch from breastfeeding and look behind us and smile. Again, I put it off to maybe he saw Emma run by, or I didn't want to think about it. One night when I had put him down again after feeding him and I went back to my room, I always left his bedroom door and my bedroom door open so I didn't have to use the baby monitor. I heard my daughter's bedroom door open and I heard her distinctly run into our room. At the time, I wasn't thinking of ghosts. I was thinking, I need to go back to sleep. I'm tired. And I had this idea that maybe if I just hold absolutely still, that she wouldn't think I was awake and she'd go back to sleep. She didn't. She tugged on my blankets like she wanted to get my attention. And when I turned on my bedside light, no one was there. I gasped. I slapped at my husband to wake him up. And I couldn't even explain what had happened other than the fact that someone had tugged on my blankets. He was half asleep. I'm not certain that he believed me, but from that night on, I slept with my bedroom door closed and his bedroom door closed and the baby monitor on. With the baby monitor on, I would hear Emma's bedroom door open and close, footsteps down the hallway. And at this point, I was too frightened to go and check it. Sometimes I would, when I wasn't thinking or when long enough time had passed, that I would almost forget about it or think maybe I had imagined it. One time, my husband had taken both children on a bike ride. We had the baby carrier to attach to the back of the bicycle. And I was so happy to have half an hour to an hour alone in the house that I could have a shower by myself. One of the things I should tell you is that there was always this blue fuzzy blanket that would be by Emma's bedroom door. And I would always give her heck for taking it out, and I would fold it back up and put it in the hall closet. She would always stare at me kind of oddly, but she would never say anything when I would give her heck for taking it out of the closet. I went upstairs to have this alone time shower, and again, the blanket was out in the hallway. So I folded it, put it back away, had my shower, came out of my shower, and the blanket was back in the hallway with the house completely empty. Needless to say, I got dressed as quickly as humanly possible and went back downstairs. It didn't seem like much ever happened on the main floor before this point, but there was a couple of times where I was going downstairs to get maybe Tylenol for one of the children in the middle of the night, and I would walk through a mist, a child-sized mist. It happened on two occasions. It took my breath away because I could see it clearly rounding the corner and coming through me before I would get to the kitchen. On those nights, I was too frightened to turn the light back off, and I would race back upstairs. It seemed like nothing would happen until enough time had passed that I had convinced myself that maybe I was imagining it, that maybe I had made it up somehow. I only saw this child on one occasion. I was busy in the kitchen. My children's bus was there in the morning. By this time, years had passed. My son was in preschool. My daughter was in grade one. And I was busily getting something from a drawer that I needed to send to school with them. And I glanced up, and there I saw her. It was a little girl, maybe 4 years old, with a pageboy bobbed haircut, black dress with a white pinafore-style collar on it. Again, it was only for a second, but I could see it as clearly as I would have seen one of my own children standing there. My first thought was, who is that? And by the time I looked all the way up, she was gone. The most frightening thing about that experience, though, my daughter by this time was old enough to articulate what she was experiencing. As I sent her to her room to get undressed for a bath one night, as I was undressing her brother to get him into the bathtub, I told her to go in the room, and she said, I don't want to go in there. And I asked why, and she said, that blonde girl bugs me. And I said, what blonde girl? And she said, the girl with the black dress and the blonde hair. At this point, I realized that my child was being affected by this as well, and she wasn't just bothering me in the night, she was bothering my daughter as well, and it was starting to frighten my daughter shortly after we sold the house. That's my story.
Okay, my question is, when you have a house transplanted, do the ghosts go with it or do they stay with the land?
I've wondered about that. I think it probably very much depends on what the connection the ghost has to the area. Does it predate the house?
Okay.
Does it have something to do outside of the house?
What if you move a house that's not haunted to a piece of land that is, do you now have a haunted house?
I could see that.
So it's hard to know if this little girl was with the house or with the land.
Mm-hmm. It is, especially, you know, the way it was described. I've always wondered about that. It was kind of funny because she had mentioned there was, I don't know where the caller was from. I did detect a bit of a slight northern accent.
You're thinking about the ones back behind where you grew up.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of, because they were moved from in town and they were propped there in the late 90s. And
she said that was moved in the 50s.
Okay, well, there you go. These, I remember they were moved off of some land with the hospital expanding, and they were older homes. And some are nice and some are not, but creepy-ish nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of had that in my mind the whole time.
That's what I was thinking of too.
But I could totally see, you know, things like that being haunted. And I could see that stirring things up. I could see that being confusing for a ghost, even like you can consider a dormant ghost, maybe one that's there but never really lets anyone know that they're there, mm-hmm. until they're like, wait a second, this is not my backyard anymore. And I could see that in itself just stirring it up.
Yeah.
So, good story. Thank you for sharing the experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over here and hear your story. Hi.
Hi. It's Dagny from Richmond, Virginia. I'll spell it for you. It's D as in David, A, G as in good, N as in Nancy, Walk, Dagny. And I'm a proud EPP. I really love it. I've been listening to your podcast for about a year, and I cannot get enough. I'm calling, and if you hear anything in the background, it's probably Andy Griffiths and Mayberry, because we're watching reruns, so sorry about that. But I'm calling about my grandfather, who I called Grampy. I loved him very much, and as a previous caller told you about robins and birds, my grandfather had a special affinity for birds. And in fact, he used to feed them. He went to great lengths to make bird feeders that squirrels couldn't get into. And Tony, I know you've been in a little bit of trouble from some of the listeners in the past about possibly shooting at animals. That's okay. My grandfather, hey, he used to shoot at squirrels that would eat the bird's food. He was so angry. So it's okay. I'm calling because about 2 weeks after my grandfather passed, I had a dream. So this is another one of those dream/ghost things. So maybe I should be calling your other podcast about the dreams, but it was more of a ghost story. I had a dream that I showed up at Golden Corral, which my grandfather dearly loved. Kind of funny, he loved an all-you-can-eat brunch. And I showed up there, and I saw him in line at Golden Corral. And I saw him in line with a lot of other people that were related to me and related to him that had passed before him. And I saw them as they looked when they had passed, which is interesting to me because you don't want to think that someone who has been in a wheelchair passes into the next life in a wheelchair. You want to think, like, hey, maybe they get a new chance at, you know, life. But I saw them as I remembered them. And my grandfather saw me, and he said, "What are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to have crossed over into this area." And I said, "Grandpa, I just wanted to see you one more time." And he said, "Sweetie, I will see you again. You have to go back. I love you, and you have to go back." And I said, "Okay, okay, I get it, I get it." And then it was like I was sucked back into this time, this plane, this whatever. And I woke up the next morning feeling like I had been with my grandfather, and he had told me everything I needed to know. So what do you think about that? What do your callers think about that? And I love you guys. You make my day. I listen to you all the time at work. I know everybody says that. I mean, I do. You're great. Thank you so much for everything that you do.
How good is the Golden Corral in the sky?
I'd have to try the one on Earth first to get
a good... Oh, that's right.
Never been to one.
Never been to a Golden Corral.
I've never been to a Golden Corral. I would imagine it's they probably refill the dishes pretty quickly at the Golden Corral.
I think that's pretty cool that her grandpa gets to still go to his favorite restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I want to still go to my favorite restaurant when I'm gone. But I'm glad that he was like letting her know, you're not supposed to be here, you know,
mm-hmm.
so she didn't just stay and end up like passing away in her sleep or something.
I think he just wanted more of the chicken. He's like, you're not supposed to be here. You're getting to eat all the fried chicken, and that's mine. Just kind of shoo your living grandchildren away from the ghostly Golden Corral. I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting one. I mean, it's kind of funny where the way she described it was like, I was there and I almost like felt like I had this knowledge without even necessarily having it conveyed verbally.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it was some sort of a connection. I mean, it's such bizarre imagery to have a Golden Corral in the sky.
Yeah. That's cool, though.
Are there other restaurant chains that I wonder, has anyone else had a dream where they were communicating with a dead loved one at a restaurant that has expanded their stores into the other worlds?
There's a lot of
IHOP.
There's a lot of people that say they meet their loved ones at a picnic table.
Mm-hmm. Food.
And also, sometimes we've had several people talk about it's like a stadium full of picnic tables, people meeting their loved ones.
Yeah.
We've had more than one listener with that same dream.
That's odd that you'd see all the other people around, too.
Yeah.
Like, why is this not a, you know... What if you did the picnic table thing, but it was like a restaurant you really didn't want to be at? You're like, I said I'm never going back in there again. But there is your loved one. Would you go back in?
Yeah, to see your loved one. You probably would go into the shittiest restaurant, even if it was their favorite.
Mm-hmm. But what if it was neither favorite? That would be even more confusing. It's like, why are they there? They don't even like that restaurant.
Probably will go to whatever restaurant your loved ones are at.
That's purgatory right there, is if you find your loved one and they're at the restaurant they hated. But that's all you know, like, why are you here? It's like, you're part of purgatory? Yeah, guess what? Taco John's. I like Taco John's. So I don't mean it that way. But, you know, everybody has a restaurant they don't like. That would be it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
I've only seen that twice. And, you
Oops,
know,
hang on. Let's restart that and pull this all over here. Hi.
Hey, guys, this is Jesse. I'm Iowa again. Hey, I had a couple things I just want to share. You know, I'm listening to some cool YouTube, you know, true scary stories, and some of these stories, you know, one of them are talking about, like, there's a door without a handle. And it started bringing back these memories. I was in our church's abbey one day, and this is not my current church, my older church, I should say. And in the abbey, in the second story of the abbey, which is more like, you know, the pastor's house, there is this gigantic black leather padded door with the doorknob in the center. And I've only seen that twice. And, you know, it's such a bizarre thing to go to any church affiliated building. And I remember they just gave me a tour because I'd never been in the abbey before. This was only a few years ago. And because they were remodeling for the new pastor I was moving in. And they opened the door, and I had the most just dark, oppressive feeling in that room. And the lights were all on. They were bright lights, but the room just had a dark feeling to it. And I'm like, what the hell? And I didn't say anything because the church I used to attend is pretty old school, you know, and they don't really pay attention to that kind of stuff. So I kept to myself. I was like, what in the hell is with this church? And I remember seeing doors like that before at one of my aunt's house, and they were remodeling their house, and this is really kind of an odd house, but they were trying to make it beautiful into the house they wanted, and how they were doing it was giving this building a lot better look. But down in the basement, like, my aunt was giving me a tour, and again, a door of that similar style was there too, and again, had the same feeling. And I'm just like, do you guys remember seeing any kind of doors like that? You know, I mean, I know you guys were more born in the 80s, but was that like a 60s, 70s thing to do for certain rooms for certain reasons? It just, you know, it's like horror movie-like door style. Big padded leather with a doorknob in the middle. To me, when I see something like that, I think they're trying to hold like a little Michael Myers behind a door or Jason Voorhees so they don't break out. I mean, that's the only thing come to mind. Why would you have such a big, freaky door like that? You know, and on a lighter note, before I hang up, I've been having a really cool little experience. It's really, really small, maybe not even ghost-like, but, you know, this time of year, I work in the timber, and I do a lot of weed tree removal, which means I just take trees that aren't very productive in the timber, nothing for wildlife use, and, you know, make room for new oaks, new hickories, new, even, you know, pine trees to come up in that. And I always pray before I go out because I've had an accident before where I had my teeth knocked out by a tree. So I'm very cautious, but also, you know, I always pray for protection. And as I'm out there, I'm running chainsaw. There's this little songbird that follows me. And he's within a few feet of me. And to me, I don't normally see that. Normally birds stay away from the loud sound, the chainsaw, me, you know, lunking around the woods, but this bird just follows me around and isn't afraid of me at all. It's like, this is kind of neat. You know, I don't know. It's just, that bird's like my little buddy. I see him out there every day, all the time. He just pops in throughout each round. It just, I don't know. It just made me think of all the cool animal stories people call to share. And I share those things. But anyway, I appreciate it, guys. Love the show and keep it the great work. Thanks again.
So he's talking about the doors that have like the padding, right?
Yeah, and he said, like, the knob's in the middle. I don't know.
I'm trying to picture that.
Is it a knob or, like, a knocker?
I don't know. Like, what's running through my mind is a lot of the older, like, supper clubs and stuff had kind of, like, the leather-padded doors and stuff. I don't recall the knob being in the middle. I recall it being in its normal place, but... even like some of the kitchen doors back in those days, you know, like the dual swinging were of that padding as well. It wasn't just the silver.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting to see what he's talking about because I can't picture it in any setting like outside of a supper club or a restaurant of some sort. You know, they're usually like a nicer type restaurant of that era, but I can't really picture what it would look like in a house. It would be odd in a house. I get why he's kind of like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, there is a creepy weirdness to having that in a home. Mm-hmm. It fits the setting of kind of the darker candlelit restaurant of the 70s. But yeah, just kind of like in your home, it's like, what the?
Or the pastor or whatever. home.
Yeah. Why does the pastor have that in his home? That is like, yeah. What's behind the door? I get why you're like, what is behind door number one? And I don't know that you really want the answer to that.
I don't know. That's odd.
Yeah, that is very, very bizarre. But hey, you know, maybe it was Maybe it's just a style that that actually was used in homes that we are just unaware of because we weren't alive when it was the style. And maybe it was one of those first things that was not a style that lasted all that long and was also one of the first to be ripped out, even with other bad styles replacing it in the early 80s. Maybe that was one of the first things they said, oh, my God, we totally have to get rid of this leather padded door because we have to make room for this lovely screen door that's going to.
There were
accordion
so
door.
Many things done to homes in the 70s. Yeah. I have no doubt that somebody thought that was a good idea. Just like faux paneling. Somebody thought that was a good idea.
It's a great idea. It's one of the best ideas ever.
Like Burt Reynolds' basement, like kind of shit.
Top 10 ideas in history. Oh. The wheel, Skittles, and faux paneling.
Okay.
That's...
It's good to know where Skittles and faux paneling rank.
Best ideas in history right there. You can look it up. It's in Compton's Encyclopedia 1995 edition that you can get with Windows 95.
Yeah.
Top 10 ideas right there. Just in case you wanted to know.
Taste the fucking rainbow.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, help keep us on the air, become an EPP, sign up on our website, ghostpodcast.com. Without your support, we can't do this thing called Real Ghost Stories Online. When you become an EPP, you get access to all of our bonus episodes. 100, almost, by the time you hear this, around 140-ish of them up there for you to binge away on. Best ghost stories that we got in those EPP episodes. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.